This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial, and we start with Public Service Commissioner Eric Skermeta. He is a native of New Orleans, a lawyer, graduate of LSU and Brother Martin High School. He assumed office 10 years ago, a little more than 10, almost 11 years ago as commissioner, and we'll talk with him about many matters, including his role in 2016 as the chair of the Trump campaign in Louisiana, and he has been appointed to a major position as a liaison to the White House. The new president of the National Association of Regulatory Utility Commissioners has tapped Eric Skermeta to help bridge political gaps between the White House and the nation's most powerful group of state regulators. This announcement was made by a Democrat, Brandon Presley, and Eric Skermeta is the gentleman we're talking about. And let's start there, Commissioner. Good morning to you, and congratulations on your new endeavor. How will this work?
Oh, good morning, Jim, and Merry Christmas. The way it works is the National Regulatory Utility Commissioners Association elects an annual president. This year it's Commissioner Brandon Presley from Mississippi, and he has appointed me to the Board of Directors of NARUC, which is the acronym of the organization, and he has tried to establish a new mechanism to where he has selected a member of one of the commissioners from one of the states, in this particular instance, me, to work as a liaison between him and the White House on issues that he would like to bring to the forefront for his year and term of service. And those particular issues that NARUC President Presley wants to work on this year is the expansion of rural broadband and how we can work to expand renewable energy in the country.
Okay.
And that's the message we are already reaching out to the White House. We've already reached out to the White House to begin that process.
Now, when Governor Jindal was in office, the White House previous president allocated money for rural broadband, and Governor Jindal turned it down. Was that a mistake on the part of the governor?
Well, I think when you look back at that particular money that was offered, it was offered with a very restrictive time constraint, and that President Obama actually took that money and applied it in a swing state, in a political way. And I think what we're finding now is that there are pods of money through various federal programs out there that, if we can work together on trying to show the logic of putting them together, we can find meaningful ways to apply money to establish rural broadband in areas that are underserved or not served at all, and accomplish a task that every commissioner in the United States wants to see, which is expansion of broadband for rural communities. But we can do so with either fiber or, in some cases, as right now we see the FCC has put together a fund of about $9 billion for 5G service for cellular broadband. Unfortunately, that does not, it's not going to reach everybody, and we need to find a way that's more expansive. And that's really one way we can help Louisiana as a beneficiary of this, is to expand the potential of the state and open up corridors of underutilized territory in Louisiana for industrial development by improving communications.
All right. But if I do remember correctly, though, I think it was $80 million that the governor turned down.
It was, but it was done with a restriction where the actual work had to be completed within 3 years, and they haven't finished the secondary lane on I-10 between Prairieville and Baton Rouge in 10 years. So the constrictions on time were very, very difficult to meet, and so it was an impossible task to do. The new rules under some of the money that's being put out through the federal government under the Trump administration are actually much less restrictive, but what they do is provide for a 20% federal contribution with an 80% to come from private. That's only one component. There are other components out there. And so what President Commissioner Presley wants to do is engage a national broadband committee from the NARUC office, and he is trying to engage with the executive office of the White House to have them participate with NARUC in a national dialogue on how we can coalesce these various sources of federal revenue and build out a real working mechanism to provide for a meaningful way to expand rural broadband in the United States.
Our guest for the first half of the show today is Eric Skrmetta, Public Service Commissioner, and your number is 877-217-5757. Next month, it'll be 11 years since Eric Skrmetta took the place of Jay Blossman on the PSC. And he, in 2016, as I mentioned, was the chair of the Trump campaign in Louisiana, and he was on the Trump train long before many others. I remember seeing the two of them together before Trump even got the nomination. So you have been a supporter of the president, and I would think that may be a reason why you have been called upon to be this liaison to the White House. Do the two kind of work hand in glove?
I would think that it's a possibility that it should not be overlooked. I think that Commissioner Presley knows that there's been a number of commissioners across the country who have been supportive of the president. I've just had the working relationship because of the proximity of Mississippi and Louisiana and the things we do in a sort of a regional and national organization. Louisiana and Mississippi tend to work together, and I've gotten to know Commissioner Presley over the last 11 years. And so I think he recognized the potential of a working relationship, and he reached out to me, and I certainly accepted any role he wanted me to have to help. So in addition to the liaison work, I'm the vice chair of the Washington Advocacy Committee, so we will be working with the entire Congress on issues sensitive to the NARUC organization as we work together on national issues associated with that group.
As mentioned, your number is 877-217-5757, and you can send an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. And Eric Skrmetta, a question from Tracy at the Capitol, noting that I think, as I stated, Mr. Presley is a Democrat. You're obviously working well with him. He wants to know how well you and Foster Campbell get along. Obviously, politically, you have many divisions, but is there a personal cordiality between the two of you?
Yeah, Commissioner Campbell and I work together fine. In fact, if you look together at our records of votes, 90% or better of the time we have very similar votes. There are certain issues that are political in nature and that we have opposition on. But for the great total of the number, we're largely unified in our goals, which are to help the citizens and the consumers of Louisiana get services and get them at the lowest prices possible. And I think, you know, there is always going to be some degree of conflict and competition between different members of different parties, but I think you'll see that we always end up getting the job done, and the commission has done a good job of accomplishing great tasks for the state.
Front page story today in The Advocate from Mark Ballard, the Capitol Bureau editor who's with us on most Thursdays. He writes that Entergy, Louisiana's 1.1 million residential customers, paid less in 2018 for electricity than anyone else across the country. But that's about to change, writes Mark, as the utility is embarking on a $10 to $12 billion spending spree to replace aging plants. So what will this do as far as utility bills in Louisiana?
Well, it's the season of Christmas, and everybody tells Santa what they want, but that's not necessarily what they get. And so I think that is a gross exaggeration of what's going to happen. As we understand that there are legacy fleets, and we are studying these legacy fleets, and if the legacy fleets prove to be economically viable to continue to run, then they're going to continue to run, and we're not going to replace them. There is some movement out there amongst all the investor-owned utilities to look at replacing some of their older fleet with new generation systems and taking other ones out of their rate base. So there would be something to do that if the commission agreed to it. That doesn't necessarily mean that the commission would vote to do this. It's a wish list, and at this point, it's as far-fetched as can be. I think that there is a continuing desire from groups to be outside the protective element of the commission and would like to be able to function without oversight. And I think that is not necessarily the best thing for Louisiana citizens, because we have seen how some people have tried to manipulate electricity markets. And that's one thing that the commission does best, which is provide oversight. We review, we regulate, and we make sure that the public is protected. The goal of this is to, I think, go beyond what the element is to study, and we all want to study the potential for the future. But I think what the underlying issue here is to try and go back and see about getting into the land of deregulation. And I think we have empirical data from other states that show that deregulation in other states does not particularly do very well.
We've got to take a break, but we'll return in 90 seconds with Eric Scarmetta. This is Jim Eakster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Another segment with Eric Scarmetta, 11 years as public service commissioner. Of course, a position in Louisiana that has great significance. There are only five PSC members. It's actually harder to get elected to the PSC than it is to Congress in Louisiana. Scarmetta is a Republican, and of course, if we look back over the years at previous public service commissioners, they include Huey Long, John McKithen, Jimmy Davis, all governors, and a couple of questions online at talklouisiana.org. Also, once again, our number 877-217-5757. Listener, this is Hal in Monroe listening online, asks Commissioner if you have any aspirations beyond the Public Service Commission. Are you going to run for governor or some other office at some point?
Well, a friend of mine once told me, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. And my goal right now is to do the best I can do for the citizens of Louisiana to provide them with the lowest cost utilities and the best service possible. So I, you know, care about three things: my wife, my daughter, and my son. And the rest of it, I just sort of leave up to what God delivers. So, you know, I'm just going to continue forward and do what I do best, which is, you know, being a good commissioner and doing the job that's laid before me. And I'm enjoying it. I've had great success with it. I'm, you know, finally, you know, reaching a point where I'm getting better influence for the state of Louisiana on a national basis. And I think it's going to be helpful to us all down the road. We can have some success on, you know, bringing rural broadband into the state in a meaningful way. I think it's going to be worth all the effort that, you know, I've spent in this office to, you know, accomplish just some of these goals. But that goal would be exceptional for the state.
All right. 61-year-old Eric Scarmetta, born on October 1. He was born on the 34th birthday of one Jimmy Carter. His politics are a little different than President Carter's, but Scarmetta is one of the few people in public life in Louisiana who has degrees from LSU, Southern, and Tulane. So if you do run for statewide office, you've got supporters, I'm sure, in various places. And as mentioned, he graduated from Brother Martin in New Orleans. And another listener, this is Tom on Bluebonnet, asks if you'll be involved in the Trump campaign in 2020.
I certainly hope so. There is some discussions going on right now, and I would welcome the opportunity to be a co-chair again. I support the president, and I think he's done a really unbelievable job in accomplishing tasks, and would welcome the opportunity to serve again.
What do you make of the impeachment proceedings?
I think impeachment in general is largely political, and I think that when we found ourselves in a situation where only one party is voting for articles of impeachment, it proves what the founders were concerned about, which was the political aspects of impeachment versus the aspects of considering a high crime and misdemeanor of impeachment. And I think it's proving itself out to be something that is political in nature. And I think that there will be a vote of impeachment at the House level and the Senate, either through a rejection of taking the articles or through its own trial, will not confirm it, and it will move forward. But it's in my own personal view, and I take the pulse through a lot of the folks that I interact with in my community that it's a shame that this was the approach that was taken.
Well, it's very similar to what happened 21 years ago with President Clinton. There were no Democrats to vote for impeachment, to my knowledge, in 1998, certainly none in the Senate. So was that a worthy endeavor in 98, or should that not have been done? Because based on what you just said, that was political as well.
Well, I think if we wanted to dig into the details, we could dig into the details of something that involved perjury. And I think that that's a difference between we could get into a very intense discussion of where we are. But I think where we are on this is looking at something that is inherently political in a discussion of what the powers of a president are.
Well, I think there's some commissioners who say that what the President Trump is accused of doing is actually worse than what President Clinton did.
Well, I would tell you that when they have disbarred President Clinton and for perjury issues, I think that it's an issue. So, my personal belief is, and I think that, in an effort to just have a conversation about this, is that there is a difference between the two. And I think that...
Well, there is a difference.
My interpretation.
One's about sex and the other's about something else.
Well, one was that he gave testimony under oath and gave false testimony. So I think that there is
actually, there was no conviction on that matter in the Senate. There was no conviction that he gave false testimony.
I think that just to leave the matter up to matters of interpretation, I would just tell you that I think that this is one that is much more political in nature than the previous issues with President Clinton.
Okay, Dan downtown. Dan, you're on the air with Commissioner Eric Skrmetta. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Commissioner. Are you glad that your son and daughter, that you quite naturally care for so much, did not spend $35,000 each for a worthless degree from Trump University?
I know that I spend more on my kids than that, but everybody's got to have chances they take in what they try in business, and I can't comment on people's successes and failures and what they try to do in life, because not everybody's successful at everything they do, and they find success in other things.
Don in River Bend. Don, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Eric Skrmetta. Commissioner Skrmetta, Don, you have the floor.
Good morning, Mr. Inster. Mr. Skrmetta, how are you doing, sir?
Hi, sir.
I heard you talking about your commission being liaison on broadband wireless. How many states or other areas, particularly out west, are you outreaching to, or is this a local thing?
All right. What about widespread broadband
use? What we're working on for the rural broadband is a national issue. We are working of developing a national broadband committee at the National Association of Regulatory Utility Commissioners. And that committee is reaching out to encourage participation from the executive office at the White House and really working together to find a way to effectively coalesce all these various federal pods of money into a working, program to where we can make a difference and, get some real action together to try and target some opportunities to expand rural broadband.
Henry at the Country Club, please be brief. Henry, you're on with Commissioner Skrmetta.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Mr. Commissioner. Good morning, Mr. Jim. You know, I heard Commissioner Skrmetta say that he certainly feels that the...
Okay, what's your question, Henry?
Well, I was going to say, with him having those priorities on the transgressions between President Clinton and President Trump, I can certainly understand why my electric bill's so damn high.
Okay, I don't think one's related to the other, but... Henry, you're entitled to your
opinion.
Well,
I would tell you, Jim, that the Louisiana enjoys the lowest utility rates in the country, and it's about consumption, and people just need to decide what they want to use.
There you go. David in Atlanta. David, please be brief.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Skrmetta, you voted with all the Republicans recently a measure or bill supported by the utilities industry, making it less advantageous for people to have net metering, i.e. solar panels. What do you know that the scientists at MIT University don't know?
All right. What about the solar vote, Commissioner?
Well, I think that's a misinterpretation. In fact, up until we had the vote, there was a moratorium on new solar in the state of Louisiana. We had a pause on it because we only allowed a certain amount to be established until we were able to do a final study. And effectively, there's about 18,000 solar users in the state, about 2.5 million non-solar users that were subsidizing the solar rate structure. And so what we did is we had a vote in which we have given every person who owns a solar array in the state 15 years of grandfathering at retail-for-retail rates.
We got a roll, but Commissioner, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, and we'll be calling you again soon, and we'll pause now for the news.